to one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
We can do so much more. We can save this world. With the right leadership.
I'll make a recording of my formulae for the Senator, in case I don't return this time. If only I won't be too late.
Go take a run and jump.
My patience begins.
I'm here to meet your fate.
He's right.
Then one ironclad crow sends the first guard to smaller.
Try my new electro sun ray.
Welcome to the What Are You Reading Comic Book Show.
This is Sunday. This is the What Are You Reading Comic Book Show on a special time. It's 6 p.m. Eastern Time. I got on the line Jordan Cobb.
Hold up.
No time for love, Dr. Jones. We have no time for the normal pleasantries and intros. Let's get straight to business. Box office news. There's been some new entries in the box office. Number one this week, Star Trek Beyond. Brought in $59 million domestic, has a budget of $185 million. It's $30 million overseas for $89 million. It is running behind the last Star Trek movie, which is expected since a lot of people didn't like that movie. And there's also a lot of other movies to see. Second place this week is Secret Life of Pets, chugging along at another $29 million. It's up to $260 million after 3 weeks. Well over $75 million budget. Ghostbusters, third place for $21 million. It's up to $86 million behind its budget of $144 million. But for all you people wishing for a colossal bomb of Ghostbusters, you're not getting it. But, you may have something to celebrate about when it's all said and done. And then there's more to say. Ice Age, Collision Course. I don't know why we keep getting Ice Age movies. I've not found one funny. I've not laughed one time in any Ice Age movie. I chuckled at one joke in one movie. $21 million. His budget is $105 million. I think this may be the last Ice Age movie we get in the theaters because it's not going to make its budget and it's not going to do well because there are better animated films out, including Finding Dory, still in the theater, brought in $7.2 million. It's a gross total is $460 million, the number one domestic animation film of all time at this point. And overseas, Finding Dory, I think it's kicking ass. Yeah, it's up to $781 million worldwide. Not the numbers of Utopia overseas, but still. That's it, unless you want to count Legend of Tarzan, came in 7th place with $6.4 million. And it's up to $115 million, but it had a budget of $180 million, because nobody gives a damn about Tarzan fighting apes. So that's out of the way. We had quite a bit of news that dropped after we went off the air. And some news today, but we got less than an hour to get to the best news. Of Comic-Con. Jordan, what do you want to start with?
Last night it was announced that the upcoming revival of Mystery Science Theater 3000, a big hit cult show, it will be debuting on Netflix.
And they've been talking
the revival was brought to light by Joel Hodgson's Kickstarter to create a new iteration of MST3K, for a new generation. And it's also announced they'll be working alongside original crew members Bill Corbett, Mary Jo Pell, who are on the writing staff, with booking on-screen appearances that aren't being quite as announced so far. Of course, the new stars in this upcoming revival will be Jonah Ray in the lead role. Hampton Yount and Baron Vaughn will be taking over Crow T. Robot and Tom Servor, respectively. Felicia Day will be the new villain. And Patton Oswalt is playing TV's son of Frank.
Okay.
Yes.
Mystery Science Theater 3000, you know, it was always a cult classic show. I remember watching it back in the day to get a good chuckle at night, late night, and then I guess it kind of blew up after it went off the air with the millennials. I don't know if a revival or B is good, or, you know, because...
Well, and I like the new people involved. So.
But what era of films are they going to make fun of? Are they going to still make fun of films from the 50s and 60s? Are they going to make film of the bad movies of the 80s and 90s?
I think there might be a bit of a mix of all. I'm not quite sure myself.
Because one of the things of back in the day, like the films they would make fun of, like a lot of people didn't see them. So it was something they was seeing for the first time.
That's true.
This is terrible. But now most bad movies people see because of, you know, DVD and stuff like that. So we'll see how it turns out.
Trailer.
Lego Batman movie dropped.
Yeah, a trailer we didn't get to yesterday was the newest one for the Lego Batman movie. This was... fucking funny.
Yeah, it apparently we get a sense of what the movie's about. It's about Batman taking responsibility of raising a young Dick Grayson, because he's reminded he's taking on a ward, and so he has to train him to be Robin and go out and fight crime with him. And that's going to make an interesting enough movie that we get to see Lego Batman and Lego Robin and how silly he can be. So, of course, we saw some scenes we've already seen before, like him kicking Alfred into the
piano,
yeah, and, you know, it's voiced by, why am I blank on his name?
His name?
Voiced in Batman.
Playing Robin?
No, who's voicing Batman?
Will Arnett.
Will Arnett, yes.
Yeah, from the Lego movie.
Right. So, yeah, I'm real encouraged about Batman Lego.
I really liked hearing Michael Cera as Robin. That was
that might revive his career. So,
well, anyone complaining about the Michael Cera-ness about Michael Cera, none of that's in this trailer at all. He's just an overly emphatic, like, bit of a fanboy that realized, oh, I've been adopted by Batman. I get to be a sidekick. Oh, it's so cool. It was maybe the funniest thing in there, aside from Will Arnett's overly serious Batman.
Tank got a show. What's it called? Tank Toys on YouTube?
Well, I'm going to get this bit of news out of the way because it's just for Surfer, since I still haven't caught up to this show. The upcoming sixth season of
Once Upon a Time
is going to feature Aladdin and Jafar.
Yeah, we know that was coming. Any fantasy that Disney has done is like fair game on Once Upon a Time. We figured that out once they did Elsa.
Yeah.
And, you know, right after that movie that came out, so we figured that Aladdin and Jafar was going to show up, and they did Jafar on Once Upon a Time in Wonderland.
And
Aladdin in a way.
Well, here is the not so surprising news. Odette Fair will be playing Jafar. Dinez Ogden's will be playing Aladdin, and Karen David. Karen David will be playing Prince Jasmine.
Okay, yeah, so this part of the show is being brought to you by Tank's Toy Box. He has a page on Facebook, and I believe he has videos on YouTube. So check that out. Tank's Toy Box. We hadn't heard from Tank.
We'll plug you, but next time ask kindly if you could.
We don't want
to set up Prince and be like, "Hey, do this for me." We don't want to set Tank off.
You know, we saw what happened with that guy with the toy truck the other day. So, anyway,
next time be courteous. You know, I mean, come on. Okay, so on to like the big news last night. As said, our show was going on right as Marvel Studios had hit up Hall H, and we got some news out there like Brie Larson. It's officially playing Carol Danvers.
Who's Miss Marvel. And
yes, but who the former Miss Marvel, current Captain Marvel.
Captain Marvel, yeah.
Michael B. Jordan will be playing Killmonger in Black Panther. Lupita Nyong'o will be playing Malice. And Donnie... I want to fuck her name over.
Danny. It's Danny.
Danny?
Yeah.
All right, Danny. Ah, you say the name.
Oh, I can't say it unless I see it in front of me.
Well, that's what I'm about to do. Hold on. All right. Da-da-da-da. Danny Guerrero will be playing Oki, the head of the Dora Milaje in Marvel's... Black Panther. So,
and they, of course, with the Marvel news, they brought out a cast from multiple Marvel movies coming up, including Black Panther and
Guardians of the Galaxy,
which, of course, they put on display the costume that Kurt Russell will be wearing as Ego, the living planet, who somehow... is the father to Star-Lord.
Ego.
Right, so that's kind of strange because Ego is a huge planet, and maybe they'll find some way that Ego can switch back from, his consciousness can switch from a autonomous body to a living planet, who knows?
James Gunn said, his dad's a planet, sort of. It'll all be explained in the film. So that is a bit strange. I guess we'll see where the hell that goes. That's interesting. Of course, footage was shown for Spider-Man Homecoming. We ain't seen it yet, so doubt they'll ever release it. But... the concept art shown along with it confirms, Keaton, and the footage itself confirms Keaton is the Vulture.
Which is probably great casting because I couldn't see him playing like the Scorpion, which was one of the rumors. Yeah, but the Vulture, you know, as an older, disgruntled employee of Oscorp who, you know, has his tech stolen and wants revenge puts him on a flight suit.
I can
see that working out for
you. I fully agree. This is perfect. Also confirmed at the presentation for Spider-Man Homecoming is that Tony Rivoli from the Grand Budapest Hotel will indeed be playing Flash Thompson.
Is that, you said from Grand Budapest Hotel?
Yes.
Is that the
Zero
Mexican...
Yes,
actor.
Zero, the main kid.
So they're making Flash a Mexican bully.
Yeah.
He's too small to play Flash. I don't necessarily have a problem of switching Flash's ethnicity, but still, we Flash Thompson's supposed to be someone, a big, dumb jock, and he's a small guy, so, you know, he's a good actor, so maybe that's why... they cast him and it'll work itself out.
Yeah. Zendaya's role, still a mystery, but Laura Harrier will be playing Liz Allen. Jacob Batalon will be playing Ned Leeds.
This is going to be a very different Spider-Man that we've ever seen before.
Oh, it very much is.
We're going to get. Excuse me. We're going to get the Peter Parker Spider-Man. We should have gotten it a long time ago. Even though I never had a problem with Tobey Maguire's Peter Parker
or Andrew Garfield.
No, I had a problem. I didn't think he fit the role.
I thought it was okay, and
I don't blame Andrew Garfield. But
I more so blame, they're
mixing up the side characters a lot in this one. So
I will say the best Spider-Man moment I think of any film came in Amazing Spider-Man 2, and it's like that small little one where Spider-Man saves that kid from those bullies in the alley and you know, walks him home like, yeah, that is Spider-Man. That gets it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the rest of the movie happened. Yeah, we're not going into that right now. We got, you know.
One of the things that came out is for Thor Ragnarok, Thor is confirmed to be in Thor Ragnarok. Now, he is a character on the level of Odin, and he's in charge of a fiery realm, and he just wants the destruction of everything. So it'll be interesting how they pull that off.
Because
Ragnarok, if you don't know what Ragnarok is, it's the death of the gods. It's like when Ragnarok hits the Asgardians, they all get wiped out. There's nobody that survives most of the time. And it's something they go through over and over again. They do get wiped out, but somehow they're resurrected and they go through this vicious cycle. And so I don't know how much of Ragnarok we're going to see in this movie. But
confirmed for Ragnarok is the Fenris Wolf.
Yeah, that's that is the creature that ends up killing Odin in Ragnarok.
That is very much true.
Like, when Ragnarok hits, certain characters die at the hands of other certain characters. Like, Thor, he'll die at the Midgard Serpent's hands, and Odin dies at the wolf's hand, and then, when all said and done, that's when Sceptre shows up and burns everything to the ground. And that's the end of Ragnarok. And a new
cast member for Doctor Strange was confirmed there in Hall H as well. Benjamin Pratt from Law and Order: Miss Congeniality and one of the greatest films ever made, Demolition Man. And try disagreeing with me on that. Is in Doctor Strange, but he's credited in the posters, but we have no idea who he's playing. Like, at all. His role is remaining a bit of a mystery.
Okay, because I'm trying to figure out who he would fit best as, and I'm not quite sure. For those that get up for the Suicide Squad, and if Harley Quinn's your favorite actress, but you're not too happy that she's not in her traditional Jester outfit from the animated series, well, they almost did do that costume. There's a B-roll footage out there that shows the costume in the footage, because they did think about dressing her that way before they would with the look she actually does have in the upcoming film.
Yeah. And, it shows her...
Go ahead.
It shows when the squad's getting together after they've been, like, you know, assembled. She picks up her, like, original gesture up and is like, oh, I missed this. And then throws it on the ground and grabs the booty shorts thing and, like, oh, yeah, that's better.
I know this is Mick happy. You happy, Jordan. Trailer for season 4 of Sherlock Holmes dropped. I didn't see it yet.
Yes, that did make me happy.
You're a big Sherlock fan with starring.
Huge Sherlock Holmes aficionado.
Starring Benedict Cumberbatch. Yes, Sherlock Holmes, who is of course going to be
Martin Freeman.
And Martin Freeman, who are both part of the Marvel U in different roles.
In different films. I sincere and I sincerely doubt they will cross paths in an MCU film.
No, you can't say that. Especially since Doctor Strange can pop up anywhere. We got a problem we can't deal with. Let's call Doctor Strange. You never know. If they're doing a actual shared universe, then he could show up.
The upcoming 4 seasons of Sherlock's going to be dealing with that still highly debated about cliffhanger from season 3 about where supposedly Moriarty is alive. And he kind of put a bullet in his own head, like ate a bullet right in front of Sherlock.
Who did that?
Moriarty.
Oh.
So, apparently it was teased at the end of season 3 that he was supposedly alive. And I'm like, what the fuck is this shit?
Well, I've seen people catch bullets with their teeth on TV, so it could
have. To reiterate, he shot himself in the head.
Yeah, special effects. Anyway.
Semantics, take it.
For all you Arrow fans who would kind of disappointed that they killed off the Black Canary last season and left you kind of wondering what the fuck. Well, it appears that Katie Cassidy, who played the Black Canary,
Laurel Lance,
aka Laurel Lance, has signed a new contract to star across all the CW DC shows. So she can show up on Supergirl, Arrow, Flash, Legends of Tomorrow.
Yeah, picking up the same deal that John Barrowman and Wentworth Miller currently have. Said on this, let's see. Wendy Mercer, a.k.a. Executive producer and co-showrunner on Arrow, said, quote, "With Laurel being gone, it's incredibly important for the team to move forward, remembering that legacy and honoring it. We'll definitely see Cassidy in the season premiere, since they've alluded they will actually reveal what Laurel's final words to Oliver were."
And we did get an Arrow trailer for season 4, which dropped, season 5. But it seems like this year, it's not going to be just Arrow in the regular team, but there's going to be a whole host of new, younger heroes coming in to take on the mantle of the Arrow and learn from him. And how far they take that is we're going to see. You know, whether, you know, he puts together some mini Justice League Teen Titan type, group. I don't know who all the characters are other than the guy who's playing Mr. Terrific. I have to look closely. I'm saying, what these other characters are. But I have to look closely at the video when I get a chance.
All right, fair enough. Speaking of CW, a huge mainstay of Comic-Con going on 12 seasons now. Supernatural has announced they are casting a brand new vessel for Lucifer. And he'll be once played by Mark Pettigrew. He'll now be played by Rick Springfield. And get this, the new vessel for Lucifer is a washed-up aging rock star.
So, yeah, the guy who brought you Jesse's Girl, he's been the devil all this time. You listen to his music.
One of the most fascinating, dumbest songs ever.
Jesse is a friend. I couldn't stand that song, but hey.
It is overall pretty fucking stupid.
Well, see, you wasn't around when it was a major hit. It was a major hit.
Regardless if I was around to listen to it, I think it would have sucked. I think I would have thought it was stupid just around then.
We got our first look at Ragman for the upcoming season of Arrow. Ragman is going to be one of the characters to show up here on season 5.
Got our first good look at the upcoming character for the 5th season.
You know, hopefully they can right the Arrow ship, because not that it's terrible, but it's been hurting the last couple seasons with
it's
them
a bit off course.
Not being able to use certain characters because of the Suicide Squad and in the movie universe. So
yeah, because that's just, yeah, because that's stupid business on the part of Warner Brothers.
All right, I can't read this this Evil Dead stuff. You know I'm too scared, so take it away.
Oh, you big chicken.
You keep calling me that and see what happens.
All right. For those not scared like Surfer, Ash vs. Evil Dead just came out blasting its double barrel shotgun and hacking up awesomeness with its chainsaw hand right out the gate with season one. But one thing that was persistent, we got references.
We lost you. We're losing you, Jordan. Jordan! Jordan Cobb! Oh, just darn it. I gotta wait for him to call back in. Jordan! Let me hang up on him. This is why I need a new co-host. Somebody who's got reliable Skype issues and not out in the boonies somewhere. Like, nah, see, you know what I mean? Now he's hung up. I'm not reading that Supernatural. Ash Evil Dead, because that just scares me. And let me see what's going on in the chat room. So, TFG says the Justice League and Wonder Woman trailer look like shit. I don't know if I agree with that. The Justice League, I understand that if you don't like, didn't like that, because the problem with the Justice League trailer is they don't have much film, so they brought whatever they had, and they just, they're doing the easy shoots right now, as opposed to the, you know, the hard shoots is going to have a lot of special effects. So that's probably why it doesn't look that good. But let's see what happens when they come out with a better trailer and whether or not it looks good. Wonder Woman, I thought looked good, but I didn't care for the music. So I can see where that could throw a person
Hello.
Off. Yes, I hear you.
All right. As I was saying, we got mentions of the first two, you know, Evil Dead films. That was, yeah, I mean, but never once a mention of the third installment, Ash vs. Army of Darkness. That was because of a rights issue going on between Stars and, it's a whole thing. But it is confirmed that there will be references towards Army of Darkness in the upcoming second season. We will hear, maybe Ash will regale Kelly and Pablo about their, his time there.
Okay.
Yeah, that's exciting. I mean, honestly, I was kind of peeved watching Ash vs. Evil Dead, thinking, why are they bringing up, like, why not even a little illusion?
Oh, I don't know.
It'll definitely be interesting.
What is this news about Archie?
All right, because we got the upcoming Riverdale show.
Right.
Yeah, and so the trailer came out, and it seemed to make it a bit like a murder mystery.
Well, I haven't seen the trailer yet.
Jesus, you're not doing your. I'm on top of things here.
I'm doing a lot trying to not step on your toes, and we don't post the same things on Facebook. So, today, plus I have to get the show ready, and.
Well, at Comic-Con, executive producer Roberto Aguirre-Sasca said that the show will be a little bit more like a teenage Twin Peaks.
Mm-hmm. And what is Twin Peaks like?
You've never watched Twin Peaks?
Just assume I haven't. What is Twin Peaks like? You can't.
Weird as shit.
Little Jordan, when you make a statement, it's like Twin Peaks. You can't assume everybody's seen Twin Peaks.
Well, it's a bit of a cultural. Okay, fine. Fuck it. Twin Peaks is weird. All right, it's David Lynch. It's weird, but you know there is a story. There's a narrative to it. But if you're not in for like some weird abstract absurdism. Or deep methodical like stuff in filmmaking, then you're gonna fucking hate Twin Peaks. Like, I know people that tried Twin Peaks. I'm like, why the fuck did you even show me this?
Uh-oh, we're getting a little argument in the chat room between Stanley and TFG over Wonder Woman. So you know, keep it respectful, people.
We have not talked.
Unless you want to call on the air and argue it out, because we got like a half hour to go.
No, I do not want to hear Stanley arguing.
All right, well, that's what the show's for.
By the way, TFG, we have not talked about Star Trek yet. I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, I have.
yeah, you want to satisfy his boner real quick?
I'll give a quick review after we've done the news.
All right. There you go.
That's all the news?
Well, no.
I didn't think so.
You're looking at the same Google Doc as I am.
Okay. Get it done.
Shut up. Stop rushing me. Jesus.
I have to do my job as a boss.
Yeah, don't. All right. There was a Spider-Man as Amazing Friends panel. Not sure why you posed this. I wasn't expecting almost any big news to come out of it.
Are they coming in with a Spider-Man Amazing Friends book? Because that's what I was trying to look for when I was looking through the article. Or they just, you know, talked about all the different books that are related to Spider-Man.
They kind of pretty much did that. That's what it was about.
Okay. Would you want to read a Spider-Man and his Amazing Friends? Like, if not necessarily Iceman and Firestar, but a book with Spider-Man plus... two or three other characters that he teams up with on a monthly basis.
I wouldn't be opposed to that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm not actively against a Spider-Man as Amazing Friends book. I don't see any reason why it would be.
Because we all know Spider-Man gets the most books out of anybody in comic books. I mean, even more than he gets more books than Batman. And, sometimes they have up to 6 different Spider-Man books in a month.
Oh, yeah. It's a bit egregious. Even though I'm digging the hell out of Spider-Woman, I love that book so much. And our last story...
TFG says Daredevil is not a good show. It's very boring. Oh, my God.
Wow, you have pissed me off, TFG. You have personally insulted me. Wow. No. Nope. You're just so wrong. I gotta disagree with you emphatically. And speaking of Marvel, this will be our last story for this coverage of San Diego Comic-Con International 2016. Is that Marvel is bringing back the cosplaying variants. Cosplay, of course, is a big thing amongst comic fans. Certainly a big thing at the con scene, especially San Diego, where some of the best, the most elaborate, and most intriguing and entertaining cosplays come out. So
one day I'm gonna have the courage to cosplay.
What?
I'll have the courage.
Oh yeah, I definitely want to cosplay. I know characters I want to do and certainly can do. Currently 15 titles are set up for the new round of cosplay variants, such as these ones are coming out in October and November: A-Force 9 and 10, Patsy Walker aka Hellcat number 11, and the Punisher number 6. So look forward to those if you feel like picking those up at all. And with that, yeah, we're done talking about Comic-Con for like the next year.
Well, some news probably come up in the next few minutes, so keep our eye open for that.
Oh, now, I am.
Let me tell you about Star Trek Beyond. It's the latest installment of the Star Trek movie series. The rebooted universe of Kirk, Spock, and McCoy and the adventures of the USS Enterprise. Of course, it stars Chris Pine, Zachary Quinto, Carl Urban, and Zoe Saldana, and Simon Pegg, and much, much more. This time, it's directed by the Fast and Furious director, Justin Lin. He took over for... why am I blanking on his name?
Who?
The last director. J.J. Abrams, who went on to do Star Trek. And is producing that. And he produced this one. So, in this particular film, if you don't know about the original Star Trek, the whole show was based on them on a 5-year mission to explore the galaxy and, you know, meet new worlds and aliens and planets and try to bring them into the Federation and you know, a mission, they want a mission of peace. Because Earth and the Federation, mostly Earth, though, they're new at traveling through space, so they've not charted a lot of what's out there in space. So the Enterprise's mission was to go out to the further reaches they've never been before and, you know, make contact with different races. So in the movie, they're like halfway through this 5-year mission. And Kirk is kind of questioning, you know, why the hell are we out here? This is... You know, we've been at this for such a long time, and sometimes I wonder, do we need to be out here? Where, and they go to a space dock for shore leave, and so you know they once you go on shore leave, you get to recharge and meet up with family and just take it easy. But that's ruined quickly when an alien ship comes in, and an alien woman says, "Yeah, you know, I was on a ship and we went through the nebula," which no one from the Federation has ever traveled through. It was a nebula that they don't know anything about because they've not had the ability to travel that far until now because the Enterprise is capable of doing it. So she's like, my ship crashed, my crew needs help. Could you help us? So, of course, Kirk agrees. They take the Enterprise out through the nebula, only get attacked by some aliens led by Idris Elba. And so the Enterprise is destroyed. The crew is captured with a handful of people like Kirk and Spock, who, of course, now has to find a way to rescue their crew and stop this evil alien from bringing destruction to the Federation. Did I spoil too much? Jordan?
No.
Did I spoil too much?
No,
Okay.
You're not that upset by spoilers?
Okay, so far, the movie...
But don't, like, do the ending. Like,
no, I'm not. Okay, the movie, certainly better than what the last one was. The last one, it was just too much fan service trying to squeeze in Khan and do the Khan and all that stuff and... You know, they did something they should have never did, which listen to the fans screaming that we want Khan for the second movie, because Khan was in the second movie of the original series. we've seen this story. Then one of the problems with this new series, we've seen this storyline. The Enterprise goes out, they come across a villain who has a hard-on for Federation or for the Enterprise, and they want to destroy all. And Kirk and Spock and everyone have to pull together to stop them. So they didn't do anything original or new. It was a bit better than, like I said, the second movie. This was written by Simon Pegg and a couple other people. You know, everybody at this point, they fit right into their roles as the crew of the Enterprise. So you definitely believe they are Kirk, Spock, McCoy, Scotty, Sulu, Chekhov, and so forth. Idris Elba, his character was average as a villain. I mean, you didn't really get a chance to getting development, you do find out what his problem is, but not to the end of the movie. And, you know, the solution for stopping him, I don't know if that meant anything or not, but you also get another alien played by Sophia Bartuteller. And if you don't know who she is, she played
Gazelle
in Kingsman. You know, she had the swords on her feet and she was killing and kicking ass. She plays a alien trapped on this planet because of Idris Elba and his people, and, you know, wants to get off this planet. So she helps the crew of the Enterprise that doesn't get captured into, you know, rescuing the crew and and saving the day.
Okay, so I do have couple bits of new Comic-Con news.
Oh, I didn't get my rating.
Oh, go ahead.
Overall, I think it's a matinee. It was cool seeing it in IMAX. I don't know if you have to see it in IMAX. I don't know if you have to see it in 3D. But, you know, certainly if you can go on a Saturday morning and pay half price, or go on a Tuesday for $5, certainly go see it if you're a Star Trek fan. All right, what news you got?
All right, so Max Landis will now be doing a Pepe Le Pew movie.
Pepe Le Pew?
Yes.
You know
Pepe
what?
Pepe Le Pew. He'll be doing a animated Pepe Le Pew movie, animated movie for Warner Brothers.
Pepe Le Pew is not PC at all.
Oh God, no! No fucking way.
So why you know? How are you going to do that in the modern day? Well, you had a character trying to sexually harass female cats.
Pepe Le Pew's cat. Let's be honest. Pepe Le Pew's kind of a straight up rapist.
You know, I guess people didn't realize what they were looking at, and it seemed funny. You know, he's mistaken a cat for a skunk, and he's hot and horny. And,
yeah, it's.
You know, the one cartoon where the cat finally gave in and made herself stink, but he got rid of his odor, and then she started chasing him. That was funny, but do we need a Pepe Le Pew in today's... Like, he can be a character that shows up, but doing a whole film where he's trying to force himself onto female cats, we don't really need that.
Tumblr will goddamn explode. Like, imagine if Tumblr was around. The time when Pepe Le Pew was, you know, accepted, like created and all that. Mm. God, oh man, the backlash Warner Brothers would have felt then. Oh, just insane. All right, so time to talk about Gotham, and another time for me to try and not pull the trigger.
Jordan's favorite show.
Yeah, that is libel. All right, you are spreading lot.
Just get to the story
about my character. I will sue you, sir.
You sound like Donald Trump.
Ben McKinney. All right, now I'm personally insulted. Ben McKenzie said in an interview with the Gotham Cast TV line, "Yours truly might become another iconic TV DC character. In the middle of the season, at the end of the season, he might take on a." Persona of a different character.
Don't tell me he's gonna put on a bat mech suit.
Well, you already beat me to it.
No. I mean, I haven't read this thing, but we know in the comics he recently took over for Batman by putting on a mech suit. That's fucking up Gotham. That really is. I mean, that's another reason how you fuck up. You keep trying to squeeze Batman things in without having Batman. Why don't you just go away for a season, come back with an adult Bruce Wayne in the Batman costume, and do a traditional Batman show?
Or just cancel Gotham.
Well, it's enough people watch the show, so.
Oh, yeah.
They don't have a reason to cancel it.
I can't wait to start season 3 coverage and nobody in the chat room tell me how much I suck because I happen to have a difference of opinion from him. Get over it. I just don't like Gotham, alright? And you know what? If you don't, yeah, you don't want to keep listening, tell Server to stop making me watch this fucking show.
No, I'm going to make you watch it. I take pleasure in your pain. It gives me stray. Did I say that out loud?
I am going to kick you in the balls somehow, somewhere.
Warner Brothers put out 8 suicide clips, and I'm not going to watch them because...
No, no, Tank, do not send Gotham to CW. They have good DC shows. Send
no, you know what? If CW do it, maybe they'll do it right.
Oh, you think they can take? Oh, you think you they can take on this much of damaged goods?
Yeah, I mean they would. I think they would do it right as opposed to what Fox is doing. Say what you will about the producers of all the CW shows, they at least stick to the core of what these characters are.
Yeah, of the characters, of the source material.
Right.
Gotham, again, if they just made it like a Gotham a show based off the Gotham Central comic book, that would be great. That would honestly be fantastic and engaging.
You know what? We haven't had in a long time. Haven't had Double A call in and tell us what nonsense comic books he's been reading lately. So maybe he'll do that in the next few minutes. Because he likes telling us these obscure books that only he can find. And
I've probably read them since the I am reading a bit more independent books nowadays than I am of the big two. I'm still reading whatever I like, but yeah, I've gone more towards Image, Dark Horse, Sony, Boom Studios, all that fun.
Now we do have all three previous days' coverage of Comic-Con posted on Facebook, and it's on our. It's on the rant page. If you haven't listened to them yet, and we went over all the news of the past few days, and it's been quite a bit of news, even though a lot of studios decided to skip Comic-Con this year.
As we reported earlier in the year, that 20th Century Fox decided to skip out due to all the piracy that goes on.
They did show up for Legion.
No, they did. They're more so skipping Hall H. And even though, like, at least Warner Brothers and Marvel and Disney and them got smart enough to be like, okay, we're going to show it to you people here. I didn't put that shit online immediately.
Did we talk about the Guardians of the Galaxy getting their own Disney park attraction last night?
No, we did not.
Well, apparently Disney's going to get a lot bigger, Double A. And that's your backyard. You know, you are a member of the Mickey Mouse Club. So following months of rumors, Marvel Studios confirmed Guardians of the Galaxy will rock into Disney California. Oh, it's in California. Tough luck. The announcement was made this afternoon during Marvel's Hall H presentation at San Diego Comic-Con. That was yesterday. Launching in the summer of 2017, Guardians of the Galaxy Mission Breakout will replace Twilight Zone Tower of Terror, which is set to close earlier this year. The new attraction will keep Tower of Terror's free-for-all dark ride element, but the 1930s-style Hollywood Hotel will be transformed to a collector's fortress, where he displays his newest acquisition, the Guardians of the Galaxy, who are trapped inside customized display cases, unbeknownst to the captor, Rocket Raccoon has escaped and enlisted the collector's VP guests for help. Visitors will board the Granty lift that launches them into a chaotic adventure with Rocket to rescue his teammates. And there's a video that you can see if you go to CBR. We do have a link to that story on our Facebook page.
Yes. Grant Gustin has weighed in on the look of The Flash, Barry Allen, for the upcoming Justice League movie. He was handed a phone displaying it as he was talking to, I think as he was on panel or somewhere, giving an interview to someone. He said, oh, sick, I haven't seen it yet. Yeah, they're completely different. Yeah, I mean, I was kind of expecting this. I heard it was going to be kind of like Injustice. Yeah, it's sick.
Well,
Grant likes it.
Did he say he didn't like the costume?
No, he does like the costume.
Well, what else is he going to say? He's not going to bite the hand that feeds him. He still works for Warner Brothers. And, you know, he's not going to sit there and trash the Flash movie just so because...
It's not talking about the Flash movie. It's talking about the Justice League.
Right. I'm saying everything is still... It's all tied in. And I said this last night. I don't like the costume. I think it looks like a Power Ranger costume. Now, Power Rangers, the costume is fine. But on the Flash, it's not fine.
Okay.
So,
I like it fine, but yeah, I'm going to prefer the TV version because that looks
traditional. Which
it looks fantastic.
I don't understand why the film studio thinks they need to change the costume. People that read the books or know the characters know what he looks like. The costume, his traditional costume, isn't as stupid looking as you would think. You don't have to redesign it or make it cool or make it he's not supposed to wear armor because that's just going to slow him down for one thing. The Flash's suit is meant to handle friction because he can move so fast. He moves fast as sound and light and so on and so forth. So, I guess he'll get the suit from Batman. I have no idea. But it does explain why you can't tell that's the Flash in that dream sequence in Dawn of Justice, because it doesn't look like the costume is the Flash's costume. It's like a lot of people knew that was the Flash, but it still didn't look good. So, and that's all I have to say about that.
Yeah.
So, a new Outcast trailer came out. I haven't looked at it yet. Have you looked at it?
No.
Okay.
I think it's just more so a trailer for the second half of the season.
So the season one hasn't ended yet.
No.
Well, you know what is ending?
What?
This episode of the What Are You Reading Comic Book Show. I have bad news for everybody. This is our last episode, people. I know you didn't know this, Jordan, and I hate to break this to you, but this is our last episode of covering Comic-Con for 2016. So,
yes.
Next week, back to normal. Back to the zaniness.
So long, San Diego Comic-Con. We'll see you next
year. Yeah, well, I guess we'll cover whatever news that drops after we go off the air next week. But even though we're going off the air in a few minutes, that doesn't mean you have to go anywhere, because this network, the network we call the Network of Love, Rant EM Radio, has tons of programming, and you won't have to wait but a few minutes to hear one of the best programs you're going to hear of today, the WWE Battleground Pre-Show, which is going to start in a few minutes at 7 p.m. And then, when after you watch Battleground on the network for $9.99 and you've are pissed, or you felt that your $9.99 was wasted, or you got your money's worth, we'll be back on the air at 11 p.m. for a post-show to go over all of the results of the WWE Battleground. And
yes,
then... That'll just be the beginning, because we'll have a week long of shows and programming just talking about Battleground wrestling in general, starting with tomorrow night at 11:30 p.m. We'll talk brunch, and then Tuesday at 8 p.m. live, it's the rant, so you get even more wrestling talk and more WWE. And then just so we don't want to overload you with wrestling, at 11 p.m. as part of the doubleheader, we bring you zaniness and craziness with Freaks and Effing Geeks live at 11 p.m. Wednesday will be Talk Ninja. I think they're live this week. If not, you get a nice little replay, because they want every other week. And then Thursday, even more wrestling talk with Rant and Wrestling. And then, depending on how good or bad the pay-per-view was, Friday night, you'll get even more with Turnbuckle Throwbacks, and you'll even learn something about wrestling you didn't know about on that particular show live at 9 p.m. And then we come with you every day with shows to the head. Saturday night, wrestling calling show with William Morgan, where he'll let you call in and talk everything, anything had to do with wrestling. And, you know, he'll have him and his crew will have something to say about what's going on in the WWE also. And then we'll be back next Saturday at our regular time of 5 p.m.
Sunday. All right,
it's painful to say 5 p.m. because 6 o'clock felt so good.
No,
but we'll
like
be on at 5 p.m. for our regular What Are You Reading comic book show.
I like the 5 p.m. time slot because my parents usually cook dinner about 6 and I don't want to eat cold food.
Oh, like okay. So it's because it's convenient for you. You want to do... But it's not convenient for me because then I have to get out of bed early and brush my teeth and comb my hair just to do a 5 o'clock show.
Like an ass. Okay, well, now you just made me feel like an asshole.
I'm just saying, like, you know, it's always about you, Jordan. It's never about me. I do so much to accommodate you. I like to be accommodated once in a while, too. But, you know, we want at 5 p.m. That's our time every Sunday, the What Are You Reading comic book show. I couldn't do the show without you. This is my ace boon, my sidekick, Jordan Cobb.
Yes. Good. Goodbye, everybody.
I didn't tell you to say goodbye yet.
Well,
you still got a minute to go. Let's see who's in the chat room. Oh, see, we got all these people. They tuning in for the pre-show. We got Baby Boy, Mr. Hightower, AC, our resident. Pervert Stanley, Tank, Double A, you, six anonymous users. I guess I'm one of the six anonymous users. Yeah, they're gearing up for
Battleground,
yes. Hosted by Double A. Two A's, the arrogant one. He was called that one time on the air. I didn't make it up. So anyway... He's going to have a lot to say in a few minutes, and, you know.
Yeah.
Well, Jordan.
Yeah.
Yeah, you did a good job helping me out this week. You know, we worked together. I'm glad we got through it. We got, you know, the news out there. I hope people were entertained and, you know, learned something.
Yeah, got an education.
Yeah. And so I'm going to... We're going to say goodnight so I can save the audio and ship it down the river. So say goodnight, Jordan.
Good night, everybody. We'll see you next Sunday.
And as always, yeah. We appreciate you listening to us. Thanks again. Peace.